Welcome back to Out of the Hourglass. I'm your podcast host, Molly Nolan, and we are talking about big rock charters today. And really, why do they even matter? NCG business coach Jay Rogers joins me for this conversation. It's his very first podcast on Out of the Hourglass, so we're thrilled to have him here, and I know you will enjoy this conversation. If you've been listening to Out of the Hourglass or you work with us here at Nolan Consulting Group, the term big rock charter should be familiar. It's something that we talk about often, but we have a charter component, a tool that works you through the big rock plan. But why take time to create this charter in the first place? We have some reasons to tell you why. And Jay gives us an inside look as to how he has used this charter, how he works through clients with the big rock plan. If you're looking for the charter exercise, please reach out. We are happy to share. But in the meantime, enjoy the episode. We are back with another episode with a brand new voice, Jay Rogers. Welcome to the podcast.
Thank you so much. Happy to be here.
Good to have you. This is your very first time on Out of the Hourglass. How's it feel?
Kicking and screaming. I know that for sure. Really good. Super happy to be here. Actually honored and been waiting for my chance to share some knowledge.
Good, good. Well, here we are, and I know that there will be more to come. So before we dive into today's topic, for those that don't know you, tell us what most don't know you.
Yeah.
So tell us what your role is here at Nolan Consulting Group.
Sure.
The clients, the diversity of clients that you work with, and then your background before being here with us at Nolan Consulting.
Sure. I'll try to keep it brief. So I'm a business coach here, the newest member of the coaching team. I also have a pretty heavy involvement in the sales, working closely with you,
yep.
Marketing and sales. Diversity of clients. I feel like I have the most diverse, but I'm assuming all coaches say they have the most diverse. So I literally wrote it down to make sure that I could get through all of these different things. But I work with painters, landscapers, a flower company, builders, coders, pest control, plumbing, tree care, carpet cleaners, restoration, dog daycare,
whoa,
glass block, and then real estate peer group. So it's...
Yeah, I think you take the cake on diversity. For sure.
I was amazed writing it down. I was like,
yeah,
wow, this is...
It's funny. Until like you have those moments where you're kind of forced to write that, you don't really realize all the things that you're doing or who you're working with.
Yep.
That's pretty cool.
It's 12 painters though, so I still fall right into the statistics. It's half, like half of who I work with are still painters.
Okay. So interesting.
Right?
So
I thought so.
Before, and also obviously you ramped up pretty quickly. You've been with Nolan Consulting Group for, it feels like it's almost a year. I know it's not quite.
Yeah. May 15th. So.
All right. So we're coming.
Yeah, 9 months, I guess. Right.
So you've ramped up quickly. You obviously have a good client spread. Mm. But before you were with NCG, what were you doing?
Keep it short and long at the same time. So I spent 13 years in restaurants, all over the place and every possible part of a restaurant. 7 years in retail. I worked for a company that some people may know, Lovesac.
Oh yes. Very comfortable.
Furniture,
they are. Beanbags.
In the Northeast. Then I was doing my own consulting. So I was working in the same capacity, but kind of on my own for a couple years. Have done some performance coaching as well. Fitness mindset type of stuff. Mm-hmm. So kind of a mixed bag before I luckily ran into Nolan.
I love it. Good
Thank
deal.
You.
Well, we're happy to have you and happy to have you a part of the team and on today's episode.
Yes.
Should we dive into it?
I think I'm ready.
All right. So today's topic, you know, this kind of falls into one of the themes on Out of the Hourglass that we like to speak to, and that's the cascading planning cycle. We find it important that, you know, once a quarter or so we hit on a topic that brings us back to the behavior of planning, the tools within planning, because at the end of the day, it's what we do.
So simple and so critical at the same time.
It is. And so often we think we know it and we're doing it enough and then we realize we're not.
Yeah. How far away we land once we start taking
an
evaluation of it is like, wow.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So a core part of the cascading planning cycle are the big rocks.
Yeah.
These are often often first created when we start working with a client out of the business plan and the action items. Those are the big rocks we're going to focus on for the year.
Yeah.
And then often, well, not often, but as we continue to work with clients and do their annual planning for continuous years, those big rocks are then brought up at every new year and annual planning. They're also always visited during the OTB meetings, the on the business meetings. So we're always talking about big rocks.
Yeah.
And then there's a tool that comes with the big rocks. But before we hit the tool, let's just redefine for those who haven't heard in a while, what is a big rock?
So textbook definition or just a regular definition?
Give us both. No, give us what, you know, what makes sense. How would you describe a big rock to a new client you're working with?
So if I'm following, you know, the scripture on it, it's a whole company project that it moves the business further or closer to the vision that's in place. So it has to accomplish some greater goal. Mm-hmm. Usually they have many steps and sub projects that may fall under them.
Right.
Sometimes they involve a ton of people. Sometimes they involve a ton of different departments. But overarchingly, it is something that is on the business. So you mentioned on the business and in the business. This is an on the business activity that helps the business move in the direction they're looking to head, which is whatever is outlined in their vision.
Okay. So generally a company might have 3 to 4 big rocks in a year that they are looking to work on and accomplish before year's end.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, any more than 3 to 4, you know, you probably have a pretty large team that can dedicate this additional amount of time to accomplishing it. More than that, too much.
Because a big rock is no small task. I mean, this is, like you just said, there's components to it. There's a handful of people involved. It's not just done overnight or in a week. This is a long-term change that's going to impact how the business operates.
Ideally, if it's done yes. correctly, it does. Yes, that's definitely.
So you've identified this thing, this big rock, this project that you want to do, to work on in the business. Mm-hmm. Obviously, you have to have the tools to be able to, well, how do we define this? How do we actually scope the project? And sure. That's where the big rock charter or the project charter comes into play. Yeah. And this is a tool that we often use here, not only internally at Nolan Consulting Group on the things that we're working with, but it's also a tool that we want our clients to be utilizing.
100%.
Why is that important for us to have in place?
You know, I recall, and I don't know exactly where, but I know Brian Nolan at some point in time had said, if it's not written down, it's not real. And for whatever reason, that sticks with me like over and over and over. I'm like, what a little nugget of wisdom there. But I think that's it. So we have these ideas and thoughts and big things we want to do, where we daydream throughout the day and before we go to sleep and all those different times. But those ideas are so quickly polluted by life,
right?
Day-to-day activities, yep. In the business behavior, catastrophes, problems, you know, all of the different things that we do personally and professionally. So how are we going to get anything done if we don't write it down, if we don't set deadlines, if we don't articulate really well what is in our mind into a plan that's actually can be followed?
So this charter itself, it's a physical thing. You have a template in front of you. It exists on our Summit library. It's a tool that we are using with clients. Talk about the key elements of this charter. Walk us through what the template looks like from a high level.
Every single piece.
It's quite extensive.
It is.
So maybe highlight some of the first core points, and then maybe what your favorite ones are.
Yeah, you know, you bring up a good point before I highlight it. Is it that it actually can be very daunting for people. So we get through this planning process and we move on to these big rocks, and we're like, okay, do what with this?
Right. This is where the implementation factor comes into play.
And this is where people fall off. This is where the struggle actually comes into play, because most business owners don't have project management degrees and hire project managers to manage the things that happen in the behaviors in their business. And they're like, I don't have time for this. Is it really that important? Do I really need this?
And
the truth of the matter is absolutely 100%. You're saving so much more time by taking the time to dedicate to this in the long run than you are hitting walls, running into roadblocks, not seeing the detours along the way.
Yeah.
So the first page is really kind of helping you define what's in it. So it's purpose, importance, people, outcomes, success criteria. And then, you know, it gives you an analysis. if we do this, here's our best result. If we don't do this, what is the result? What is the negative impact by not completing this task? So it kind of takes you on the journey of like, I don't know. Like, yeah. I don't know. Okay, yeah, I got this big rock. Yeah. What am I going to do with it?
Right. It's almost like a filter to kind of work yourself through and help defining whether or not this is a project that's going to make a change worthy of the investment, not only of time, but likely of capital that we're going to put into it.
100%.
And do we need to proceed?
Yeah. It's like, it's exactly that thing. I'm trying to take this idea and turn it into reality. And I just want it to happen. Yeah. Snap my fingers and it's done. Right. I've implemented this process or this system. It's done. Right. Somebody handle it. Well, how, why, what don't I see in my way? What am I not thinking about? Does this make sense? Is it really strategically the right move for me currently at this time? And that's the first page. The first page forces you to answer some very simple questions, you know? What do you want to accomplish? What's the purpose? What am I doing?
Yeah. Which is interesting, because I would imagine most of our listeners would not have expected that that's the first page. Kind of the evaluation of moving forward or not.
Well, I mean, why should we just move forward every task that comes up? Should we move forward every idea that we think is a really good idea or process that we think applies to our business at its current size, with its current capacity, with its current clients? I mean, I don't know.
I bet you there's a lot of integrators who love this first page.
I hope so.
Because you know what it is? I mean, it's entrepreneurs have all these ideas, the visionaries, right? That's their job. Their job is to constantly be thinking about what's next. How do we make the business better? How do we do something new and exciting? And the integrator is often the one that's like, great, love that idea. But like, it's my job to do it. And how the heck are we going to do this?
Yeah. Entrepreneurs were created to have ideas. They were not created to necessarily implement ideas.
Right.
And we've learned this over time, haven't we?
We certainly have. Yeah. I mean, we've done lots of conversations between workshops and podcasts and just internally on visionary integrator dynamics. And this page to me ultimately reflects a key part in making sure that that integrator visionary relationship can remain healthy.
Yeah, the entrepreneur, the business owner loves visioning.
Yeah.
They love exploring where they want to be and what the company looks like in 3 to 5 years.
Yeah.
They hate getting into the nitty-gritty of the project, right?
It's integrators page one. It's for you. Integrators page one, it's for you. Uh-huh. So let's say we complete this page one. We basically have evaluated and we've decided that, yes, this is something that we're going to proceed with. This is what we're going to dedicate time. What is next here?
Yeah, so page two gets into the granular details, right? So now we're talking about who are the leaders of the project, who's the advisors, who else is involved, what roles do they play in completing the project, how do we report progress, what are the timelines, are there other projects, right? Because big rocks are whole year sometimes.
Right, there's often projects within that roll up to one.
What stands in our way, right?
Yeah.
We want to implement this process, but we don't have full integration with our CRM to get our client data over to the next step. Well, then we have another project that's in place that also needs to have a completion date and some deliverables and a timeline and a timetable that all takes place. And really, I mean, arguably, obviously, we've talked about this. I know that Colin Nolan has talked about this quite a few times, but SMART goals, right? Like,
oh yes,
these things, these actual actionable pieces.
Do you have it written down in front of you what they are?
Of course.
Okay, but before you do, can I quiz myself?
Absolutely.
Because I have done, did a whole podcast with Colin on SMART goals.
He changed one or two of these a little tiny bit. Well, from like, if you look up the textbook one. He changed it a little bit. So this is going to be an interesting experiment here.
Okay. SMART.
Yes.
Relevant.
Good.
Is the R.
Yep.
A is attainable.
Good.
M is measurable.
See, that's what most people think. It is measurable. If you like look, if you Google it, it's going to say measurable. But for Colin, he likes it to be motivating.
Interesting. Okay. S is specific.
Yep.
And T is trackable.
Boom.
Okay. 100%. So I told you that out of order.
As far as I'm concerned, 100%.
Okay. All right. Yeah. I should have done that S through T, but my mind couldn't get the S for a second.
We all learn differently, right?
Colin should be proud because we did that podcast a while ago.
I actually remember listening to that podcast.
But it's good. I mean, that I recommend if folks want to dive a little bit further into just SMART goals and the components within each of those, I recommend that podcast because we break it down into very easy terms and we apply it to kind of just our own personal worlds.
It's so critical and it helps you make better decisions and look at what you want to accomplish and whether you can blow it up a little bit more, get more out of it by asking yourself these questions. So absolutely.
So SMART goals, that's a part of this charter itself.
Yeah. And it's detailed too. So by when, it's by who, what are the notes? What do we need to know? Right. We're being specific, right. We're being motivational. Is it attainable? Can we achieve it? What's the timeline on achieving it? Is it specifically relevant to this project and what we're trying to accomplish, or that piece of the project that we're trying to accomplish? Then trackable, right? Can we measure it, or is it just kind of aloof and floating around in space?
The benefit about doing these charters, certainly after page one, is that the big rock idea can be so daunting, and sometimes you're like, I just want to throw ideas at the wall.
Yep.
Right. And which is great activity, but this provides the framework for throwing up ideas.
Yeah, this provides a framework for throwing up ideas, but also I'll add to that a little bit, is that it also highlights the things that you didn't think about, or it highlights the pieces that you're like, oh, well, I guess I need this other project, or I need this other piece, or I didn't think about that checklist, or there's a lack of process there. Oh, okay, well, I need to get that process done before I can move forward. So it forces you to blow your project apart into smaller, more measurable pieces.
Which often feels like it's much more attainable to complete, right? If you can attack it in bite-sized chunks.
I mean, I personally think so, but I'm assuming there's some people out there that are like, oh, this is where you lose me.
Yeah.
I'm done.
That's fair. That's a fair perspective. Yep. Who's responsible for completing the charter?
So I think this is super important. It really depends on the scale of your business and who are your leaders? What does your management team look like? But obviously the respective person who owns this needs to be the one that's kind of in charge of the project and holding themselves accountable for the measurables, the deadlines.
It's like at the end of the day, who's accountable for this project?
Absolutely. 100%.
Generally, there's one, maybe two people. Really can't be more than that, because otherwise I feel like you can begin putting the blame.
Arguably enough, I would say that it's one person.
One person.
Always. And then there's team members that can be big and small teams.
So that's one of my most favorite parts of this charter, is you identify who the key players are to make that project move forward.
Right away. Right.
Who's on your team?
Yeah. And why were we going to have two different people, three different people? Why don't, one person is the point and has established who they need respectively to complete this task over time. You may need to draw a person or two in, or you may need some input from a different department, but there's one leader. There's one person that owns this.
And then you kind of create your team, your committee that are responsible for moving that forward.
Sure. So cascade planning cycle, right?
That's right.
We cascade it down. There's 90-day plans for people within other people's 90-day plans. And same concept here. So there's a leader, and then the other people have their own parts of this task that need to be accomplished.
And deadlines that are also involved, because ultimately the whole goal of this is that it wraps up into the completion of the final project.
Yeah, I mean, it's not real if we don't set a deadline for it. I mean, what's the target?
With something of this nature that involves a certain number of people, how detail oriented do you get with something like this?
Yeah, it's not.
You're writing a book about the project.
It's not one size fits all. Yeah. It depends on how big the project is. The high C in me wants it to be so thorough that you can't poke a hole in it. Mm. But that's often unnecessary. So there's a balance to be struck in between. If you only have five line items, my question for you is it a big rock?
I'm guessing your clients love you.
Could have begged to differ.
Yeah, no, no, I'm being sarcastic in that you're making them really think out, like you're pulling apart those five items.
There's always sub-steps to sub-steps, right? So, so we can very simply go in and say, I want SOPs. Great. What SOPs? What do your SOPs look like? You want checklists? You want full-blown procedures? Do you want a manual? What departments? Mm-hmm. Where do you start? Who owns it?
How are they communicated?
How are they communicated? Where do they live?
Yeah.
Like there's just, there's layers upon layers upon layers.
Peeling back the onion.
Yeah, peeling back the onion.
Is this template a living document? So like once you complete it to, you know, it's 90% done, because I don't think you can be fully done because the project's not done. Mm. But is this something that you're like, okay, we did this and now we're just going to get started working? Or are we revisiting this during those on the business meetings, during those big rock meetings?
Yeah. I mean, if it's not a live document, then it's not real again. So we can spend all the time planning this and writing it down, but if we're not checking on it, if we're not checking stuff off, if we're not communicating on how projects are going, what roadblocks we're hitting, what snags we're hitting, what things are completed, then you're not making any progress.
So it's like your budget. It's like your business plan. Those are working, living documents that we keep revisiting and checking to make sure that we're on pace, that we're on track for completing the goals for the year.
Yeah, you know, you and I talked about three or four big rocks, right? This is why you only can execute on three or four big rocks,
right?
Because this will consume a large amount of your time if you're doing it correctly and being thorough. You know, the whole point of this isn't to just do something to have to redo it again the following year, or to haphazardly put something in place as a band-aid. The point of this is to really impact change, to really implement something that has a lasting effect on the business and the vision goals.
One thing I think it's important to mention is this has come up, I feel like, in the last year or so with some of the clients that we have, that we work with. Mm-hmm. You know, we put on our, you know, cascading planning summary for the year. We identify what our three to four big rocks are. Mm-hmm. And sometimes they just say safety. Sometimes they just say training. Well, those feel like ongoing big rocks when they're labeled like that. So those don't really classify, like safety doesn't classify as a big rock.
No, not at all.
Implementation of a safety plan is a big rock.
Absolutely.
Because that is something you can define.
Why is it a big rock? What makes it a big rock?
Because you can create, it's specific, it's the plan.
Nice, that's what I was looking for.
You can measure it and you can be motivated by seeing the impact, not only culturally protecting your people, mm-hmm. but also the investment of protecting your people.
Yep.
It's attainable because there's safety content and information and tools and materials that live out there and can be implemented. We've shown that. It is relevant because obviously the safety of your people is critical. It's number one.
Absolutely.
And it's trackable. There are KPIs within a safety program.
Yeah, whatever your system is.
Yeah.
Are we having morning huddles?
Yes.
Are we keeping our workspace safe for how many days?
Exactly.
And it can be simple stuff too, to keep yourself.
Yes.
Everybody thinks, oh, that's craziness. Well, no.
But I think it's important that we realize when we say what a big rock is, that this is exactly where the SMART goal definition or filter is applied.
Yeah.
We can't just have these ongoing things that, yeah, then maybe the next year we are continuing to work on safety, but that's no longer maybe a big rock next year. That's just a part of our ongoing, you know, component of our business. It's a business check.
Yeah, the wording's pretty critical, right? So training doesn't count. Implementation of XYZ training, all of a sudden, totally different thing, totally different goal.
Correct.
So, you know, we can take specific to how many degrees of levels, you know, but that is perfect example of how just being a little bit more specific on a basic overarching topic now gets us closer to what we're trying to accomplish.
Absolutely. All right. So we've talked about the charter, the tool itself, but then there's of course the application of it, which as we know is the hardest part, right? I mean, you and I've talked about this before. There's so much content out there. So often, you know, people can find what they need from a content perspective to grow their business and do the things. But it's those that actually implement and are held accountable to do those things is where that's the differential, yeah. Right?
You haven't checked the box until it's actually live and correct. Working and functional. You actually bring up the next step, which is the third page. So part of the Big Rock Charter that we haven't talked about yet is what's called the Green Zone. And the Green Zone is very much that, what is the handoff? Who owns this project when it's done? Is there a handoff? Yeah. Right. And then who's in charge of it?
It's that safety plan we just mentioned. Once we've got it in play and we yeah. know it's rolling well, who now owns it? Do you have a safety manager? Who's responsible for it? Is it the operations manager?
Is it the foreman, right? Yeah. Like whatever, however big your structure is, where does it live? How do you track it? Mm-hmm. Is there a KPI dashboard for it? Is there software? Do we need a different app or program that's going to help us keep the data right. or log the data or store the data? Are there next phases? Does this trigger phase two or phase three?
Phase two might be a whole other big rock in itself.
Yes, it always is, isn't it?
One thing leads to another.
Sure, yeah, absolutely.
So how do you utilize this charter exercise with clients that you're working with? What's your approach?
Well, I think most of the time owners want to accomplish so much. You know, they come to us and we start visioning and they're like, oh, I want this, I want this. Oh, yeah, that's great.
It's fun to dream.
Yeah, it's mm-hmm. it's fantastic, right? Yeah. And then, you know, we start getting into, okay, how are you going to do that? And then it's like there's a halt. There's breaks.
Yeah.
And then it's like, okay, now's the hard work. Now's where the hard work starts to get planned out. This is where we implement the cascade planning mm-hmm. cycle. We start to figure out how to help you get these things done. So I think that's where we use it, you know, that's where we get entrepreneuristic. We dream, we create this wonderful, amazing company. Mm-hmm. And now we have to figure out how to do it and conceptualize right. what that type of change really takes. So this is kind of a guide, you know, I mean, if you take it step by step, it sounds like a super daunting process. Even looking at this, it's a 3-page document with nothing on it yet. Yeah. I haven't even started filling it out. But if I just go into page one and I answer simple questions like, what's the point? Like, what is our purpose here? You know, who's involved? And I start going through it, it's a lot easier to do than we think it is.
Yeah. So have you, on calls with clients, have you walked them through? Have you done this exercise like line by line with them?
I have. I've done it line by line. I think that depending, you know, meaning it, and being adaptable, we always want to meet our clients where they are. So varying degrees and varying levels, arguably the most important part is helping and making sure they understand what a SMART goal is
yeah.
and what the green zone is. Those are the real big elements. Right. And then we can go back and go line by line and figure it all out.
That's kind of a good point. So you don't almost have to do it from top to bottom. You can skip around kind of and let it mold itself in a sense.
Yeah, I think it takes shape as you start wrapping your head around it, you yeah. know. So it's easy to have an idea. It's not as easy to create the plan to get to that idea. So just like we do with visioning, we create the company of the future and then we reverse engineer how to establish that company of the future. It's the same concept. It's mm-hmm. just breaking it into smaller pieces. And when you answer these questions, they're not hard. I think anybody could answer any one of these questions individually with a couple, you know, moments of thought process. So it takes a big task
yeah.
and turns it into little bite-sized pieces that all of a sudden take shape into a bigger project.
Well, and doing it with you mm-hmm. Also, sometimes the power of being able to kind of have a soundboard to bounce ideas off can make a big impact. So if you're not doing it with the coach, maybe you're dedicating time with someone on your team who maybe will be involved to help you draw out the scope with you.
1,000%. I mean, that's why we encourage to build dynamic teams that think yes. differently and have different disc profiles and different geniuses and all these things that you hear on our podcast.
Right. Yeah. If you have a wanderer, it means that someone is, you should get them to help, maybe help you, you fill this out, because they're the ones who are always looking to invent and create new things.
This is exactly
where they're going to have, you know, they're going to shine in this moment.
I mean, you and I were having a conversation yesterday, and I was like, I love, like, thank you for having a different perception of this topic, because it helps me look at the other sides of it. You know, I mean, that's just a micro example of the power of having different people in different seats and getting challenged when you need it.
Yeah. You're going to struggle to see success if you surround yourself with the exact same type of thinkers.
100%.
Doesn't work.
Yeah.
What kind of challenges have you seen a team face, or could a team face, in either the creation of this big rock charter? I mean, we kind of hit on that a little bit, but more so in the execution of it.
I think there's a couple things. So one is that this can be overwhelming. Mm-hmm. So in the beginning, it's overwhelming until what we're talking about is until you break it into smaller steps and it's less overwhelming. So I think that is the first challenge, is getting over the anxiety.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah, it's a very real feeling.
I think the other challenge is that owners don't want to slow down to plan.
Yeah, to actually take the time to do this activity.
This is the time spent on getting this under order. I could have already had half of it done already. Okay, yeah, well,
you're pretty common.
You probably could have had half of it done already, but is it impactful? Is it real change? Is it solving all the issues, or is it just a band-aid?
Yeah.
And I think that's probably the biggest challenge that I have is slowing down to speed up and be more thorough. Mm-hmm. And I mean, it's super common. It's a common problem to have, but it's a real challenge.
It's so funny. I mean, in a lot of I often hear that, you know, to have growth, to speed up, you do need to slow down, and 100%. It feels so opposite of what we actually think. But I mean, I've seen it play out in many different ways. And like, let's hold here, and like, let's pivot so that we can actually have intentional next steps.
Yeah, we see in our own business, right? We push off certain things that we know need to happen, or processes that we need to put in place, or hard decisions that need to be made, and we don't calculate the time and damage that they do by avoiding it or just haphazardly fixing it.
Yeah.
When we're thinking about
it. Like, there's actually a larger issue here. Yeah. The Band-Aid only works.
Like, how much is that going to cost a year from now, or 6 months from now?
Right.
Or what time investment do you need to fix this when it becomes the issue that we're trying to circumvent?
Right.
That's the biggest thing.
What role does communication play in all of this?
I could hear myself earlier today on a client call.
Obviously, we know it plays a huge role, because communication comes up in every podcast that I do.
Critical. It's literally the most critical aspect of business and teams and everything that we do is how we communicate and how often. I'm giving Brian Nolan a lot of plugs right now. But, Brian says we under-communicate 10 times what we think we are, right?
Yeah.
So and that's correlated to vision and core values.
And
mostly.
That may have likely has come from a client who shared that, gosh, it may have been Travis from Webfoot or Ryan Parsons, but they talked about this at a Grand Summit several years ago, and that like stuck.
Ugh, like in a pit in
your
stomach.
Yeah, right? like you just have to communicate over and over and over again. You might feel like you're overdoing it or hitting it too hard, but you will never hit it too hard.
Every time we think we're doing too much, we're actually still doing just under what we need to be doing. It's kind of crazy. It's super hard. I struggle with it still to this
because
day.
Because how else does that item that you're trying to communicate beat out the noise that we're constantly living in every day?
It's like a critical conversation piece too, right? Like certain conversations are uncomfortable, but when we remove the uncomfortable aspect of the conversation, it's just doing business. So when we can communicate with the absence of like emotion and anticipation and anxiety and all that, and we just are pointed and factual about our communication, it's like.
But if only that was so easy.
If only.
we know I think it's always important to say, yeah. You know, we talk to these things, we speak to these important ideas. We know that it's easier to speak to than it is to do. We face it in our own business, right? I mean, we can talk all day about these big rock charters, but we struggle to work through them sometimes ourselves.
100%.
We're not perfect.
Yeah. No, we're like artworks in the making every single day.
But aren't we all at the end of the day?
For sure. Striving to be better. 1% better every day.
Yes. So the communication component is not only, I feel like, within, but then, and maybe who needs to know on the team, but even the other team members, the rest of the organization, you want them to know big rocks that you're working on.
Yeah, sure. So let's do a couple of different layers, right? So we identify the leader and the team members to already set a precedent for how things are communicated within the project alone. But then that leader now holds the responsibility to communicate the progress of this entire project with the leadership team when we're checking in on OTB meetings and the progress of our big rock items and the bigger projects that have respective owners and leaders of them. So it's very much a cascading communication plan, but it creates the structure that it's not 10 people trying to communicate one thing. We set who's communicating and we put
the messenger.
Yeah. And then if we are implementing a meeting structure that follows the planning cycle, then it's very natural for there to be a time and a place where these types of communications take place.
This sometimes also lives. We have OTB meetings here, Nolley Consulting Group. Mm-hmm. And then we also have a monthly, what was called a scorecard meeting. It's now being called communications meeting.
What?
Did you know that?
No.
See? I just
we failed to communicate.
Yeah, communicate 10 times over has not happened on that particular item. I actually just learned this my week, and I kind of like I chuckled about it. And Brian was like, "Why are you laughing?" I said, "Well, this is the first I'm hearing about it, and it's called the communications meeting." So
the irony.
And let's see if the name sticks, right? I mean, we always go back to calling it the scorecard, but for us, it's kind of a high level view with our entire team. Yeah. On, you know, revenue, number of clients, what we're working on. Yeah. It's a good check-in. And we believe in transparency here, you know, from a top level, because at the end of the day, we're all working towards the same goal. We're all impacted by it.
Such a hard concept for business owners, though.
To be able to feel like they can be transparent.
Yeah.
Do you come across that?
All the time.
Yeah.
All the time. We think we need to hold these secrets. We need to keep them in a locked vault. They don't need to know all of this. And it's that over communication, right? If it's a pit in our stomach and we think that we're doing the right thing, but actually by telling them what the goal is, telling them how we're doing, they have more investment, they have more involvement, they have more ownership of their respective roles in that process.
Don't we want to share ownership of things within a business?
Sure.
Why would we not want to do that?
It's crazy. It's crazy.
But a core part of that, or an agenda item of that communications meeting that we have, is a very high level on track, off track of the big rocks that are currently being worked on.
Sure.
And not everybody owns a big rock here. People are involved, but there are 3 to 4 big rocks that there's a leader, and then there's kind of teams working on, and they just give a really quick status update.
Sure.
We can't peel back too much, but that's what the OTB meetings are for. That's what the big rock meetings are for. I mean, you're working on a big rock right now. You're not the owner, but you're on the team.
Correct.
And so you guys are having your own meetings, checking in on the progress. Mm-hmm. The OTB meeting is hearing about it.
Yep.
And then we're getting a status check during that communications plan.
From the leader of that
from
big
the
rock.
Leader.
Yeah. Yeah. And it just works so well that way.
Yeah. Communication.
Yeah.
You got to find the ways, though, to make that pathway work, and then to establish that pathway never breaks.
It's super uncomfortable.
Yeah.
It's hard to implement. It really is. Like, let's not, you know, we're talking about we're not perfect over here, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Like, look at some of our cracks. I mean, we're all a work in progress, and these are hard things to do. It's really uncomfortable to get that type of structure, meeting cadence, and leaders, and what is Kevin, decisions made in the hallway, right?
Oh yeah. Don't make decisions in the hallway.
The reality is these things are all still happening. If we continue to communicate on them on a regular basis.
Do you know what's so funny is decisions made in the hallway. I just did a podcast with the A.G. Williams team with George Sr., George Jr., and Nick, and talking about, they were talking about their meeting structure, and George Sr. was like, George Sr. doesn't want to come to meetings, he just wants to make decisions in the hallway, and we just did a whole podcast with Kevin about don't make decisions in the hallway.
I think that's where I got it from.
Yeah, but everybody makes, I mean, everybody operates differently, and we know that, and we're all trying to, you know, get into better cadences of how we're making those decisions and who's involved. But it's funny. I mean, we're all practicing and doing the same thing.
Oh, it's constant correction.
Yeah.
It will always be constant correction. Like, this never stops. You continue to try to correct and fix and correct and fix. And that's what makes good
businesses.
I mean,
we make decisions in the hallway all the time.
We do.
Do we not?
Absolutely. We do.
And it shouldn't always
happen.
I
think you and I made some decisions in my office.
Sure, we did.
There was some made. Yeah, I mean, yeah. It happens all the time.
We had a sales meeting on Monday. We made decisions in the hallway about it 2 days later.
Yeah. And then we have to recap that next week where
we
communicate it back.
Yes, back at the sales meeting. Exactly. So we get it. It's just this, but this is why we talk about these things. Because we realize that we all need just constant, like, little reminders, kind of check-ins on how we're functioning.
Yeah.
And really coexisting and operating with our colleagues, right?
Yes, the teams are so dynamic, and like, this isn't even talking about the just personal lives and all the things that are happening. I mean, it is a constant, you know, work of art that's continuing to get better and course correct, and I think that's just the reality of it, you know.
Yep.
Strive to continue to stay on course and correct when you feel like you're off course.
So that actually leads me into my next question.
Sure.
How, let's say you've done this exercise, you're 6 months into working through a big rock, and so like you're deep in this project. You've invested a lot of time. You have made impactful decisions, but you're realizing you keep seeing that maybe we're off course. Maybe what we thought we needed to do, or we thought what this was going to do, is not actually what we're seeing now that we're in it. What happens there?
Yeah. It's a really tough decision to make, but arguably, right? Like it doesn't mean that all progress is lost. Mm-hmm. So going through that process and the time and money that you've invested over those 6 months, as you said, have helped you establish that this is the wrong business choice for you, for your business, for your customer, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
And establishing that and stopping and diverting back to something that makes more sense is power. I mean, that's knowledge, that's power. So it's never really wasted. It's frustrating. Arguably harder to divert.
Yes.
Than just to finish something that doesn't make sense anymore. And that's really difficult to stomach.
Do we call this maybe a fail forward? Like the failure. It's not the big rock isn't a failure. We've learned a lot, so we're taking what we've learned and we're going to move forward with it. I mean, look at it as great research, maybe.
Yeah, I mean, I would even take the word fail out of it, right? Is it really a failure? You know, like, it's all about how we view it, and it's not a failure. It was an investment in figuring out the best way to do business for us, and we figured out that this isn't the best way to do business. So we still correctly invested. We just maybe went down the wrong direction, or maybe our business changed. Businesses are so dynamic. Something could have changed in those 6 months that means that this, I don't know, technology or customer change or a process or acquisition. I mean, there's so many things that could have taken place.
Which brings a good point. I mean, this is why this remains, this planning document, this tool, needs to be a living document.
Yeah.
Because we have to be adapting to the priorities of the business that we're seeing change.
Yeah, I mean, it means nothing if I spend the time to do this, so then it just is a Word document in a OneDrive folder somewhere. I mean, then it's a waste of time, it's a waste of money, waste of effort, waste of energy. It does nothing. It has to be alive, has to stay alive. And it stays alive in completion. I mean, even when it hits the green zone, it's implemented, it's being used, the data is being tracked and analyzed and discussed, and decisions are made from it. That's the point of putting it in place.
So you've used this tool in your own planning.
I have.
Talk to us a little bit about that, because I think it's always cool when we hear about like a personal experience.
Yeah, you know, we started the real estate peer group, three months ago, I guess, all coming up on 4 months ago. We're just going to have our fourth meeting coming up in a week here. And, you know, like, it's a great idea. It came out of a retreat originally, and then, you know, we put it together, but it was very much that.
Over time, it's been melded. And I mean, I can remember mastermind meetings like 3 years ago with business owners talking about this topic a lot and thinking it'd be really cool to have a meeting just focused on that.
Sure.
And yeah, it was a great idea, but, you know, did it have a place here at Nolan Consulting Group? Yeah. Did we have the resources to do that?
All things that a project charter can answer, right?
Yes. And so that's exactly what you worked through.
Yeah. So I did very much so go through this process and answer those questions. How do we make it work? What purpose? What's the importance to our members that have been discussing it for years? Who's involved? What are the outcomes? What do I want to accomplish? Mm-hmm. And this one was a little bit difficult because we aren't the subject matter experts in real estate. We don't claim to be.
Yep.
We never tried to be. We're not trying to be. But we wanted to facilitate and create a space that we can bring that content, mm-hmm. not from us, from our members. So it was interesting to have to go through this process because it helped me get clarity and helped me realize that it's very possible and we can make it highly effective if we do it in the correct way. And the planning process, the charter itself, was how I established that. So I found the way through just sitting down, dedicating some time to answering some real basic questions.
Here's a question that I would imagine would come up when working through this first page that we talked about, the evaluation component of whether or not this is a big rock we're going to proceed with.
Yeah.
Does it qualify as a big rock?
Mm-hmm.
Who is the decision maker
at
the level of checkpoint or at the stage of checkpoint?
So in this example, right, we went to the ops director and the CEO, and they made a final decision based off of the information that I had provided.
Okay.
So I did the first page. I presented the first page. There was an OTB meeting, which it was discussed and it was voted on and got a green light or a red light. Then we went forward with the next steps of the process.
So it's likely important to define who the decision maker is on what the check of the checkpoint data.
Yeah.
Even before the big rock charter started.
Yeah, so it's interesting enough, right? Like we go through the planning process, we create big rocks, and then we start to put these charters in place. You know, like this is, they can be diverted. We do need to have some checkpoints within this planning process as well, mm-hmm. just to make sure we're on track, which we'll continue to do.
Yeah.
6 months.
Because sometimes
we
can also get lost in our own stuff.
I want to do this.
And we kind of maybe push out other noise because we have strong opinions about it, and which is good. It's good to be passionate about mm-hmm. something that you're trying to move forward about a project, but this is where it's important to have different perspectives.
Absolutely, 100%. You could have heard something on a podcast from an expert, from another person, from a mentor, a peer. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always mean that it's as impactful or relevant to your business. And this process can help you identify its relevancy in the beginning.
Good stuff. All right, last question.
That's a good one.
What advice would you give to teams or organizations who are looking to incorporate this type of planning into their project management approach? Because I would imagine different companies have different ways of doing things. But if you were to say, this is a really great tool to consider, what advice would you give?
Two pieces. One is you should have started yesterday. it's really the time spent up front in planning in general, not only just a project charter, but in planning your business and your activities and what you're doing in the near to far future, far outweighs the method of just charging forward and taking obstacles as they come and not assessing your surroundings, because it costs you more time and more money, even though it's really, really hard to see how much time and money is being spent by just charging forward without a plan, then taking the pause, slowing down, creating a really well-developed plan mm-hmm. and attacking it in a strategic manner. You're going to get so much more done. And it's super hard for people to wrap their head around. I still push myself every day to follow a process.
Yeah.
The process works.
The process works.
Yeah.
Well, Jay, you just completed your first podcast process. How do you feel?
Want to do another one tomorrow?
There you go. And if you only saw how much I had to drag this guy into here.
kicking and screaming. She's not lying. It's a true story.
Great job. It was a pleasure to have you on here. I hope that it was enjoyable for you. And I hope that you will return and to continue to discuss all the things. I mean, especially with such a diverse list of the clients that you have, the perspectives that you will be able to share from those experiences on a high level. I think we're going to have to get you back on here.
Yeah. Real estate too. It's an exciting topic.
We should tee up a future real estate topic. Right. Bring in a guest from the group.
I would love that. I have a couple. They're going to fight. I'm going to make them try to get the golden ticket so they can get on here.
Maybe we'll need to have one. We'll stage them. We'll give them all an opportunity over the next couple of years. Cause there's quite a few. Well, Jay, thank you. And until next time.
Awesome. Thank you.
Thanks for listening to this episode. Out of the Hourglass is recorded and produced by the team at Nolan Consulting Group, a nationwide business coaching and consulting firm with coaches located throughout the country. Have a question, comment, or idea for future episodes? We'd love to hear from you. Visit our website, www.nolancg.com.